We're looking at the next in our series on the talks based on this book by Jeremy Riddle, The Reset, Returning to the Heart of Worship and a Life of Undivided Devotion. I've been given chapter 7. It's called Truth Matters. To be honest, this is a challenge tonight, and I'm talking to myself in a lot of these things tonight, and I think we've all got something to kind of hopefully hear through this chapter that Jeremy has written. But also, I think God's given me something I really want to, on my heart, to share tonight. I asked Kat to read the Lord's Prayer at the very beginning, because I think it's important when we come to worship God, to be in His presence, that we acknowledge that it's true that we have messed up this week, we've done wrong, and we need forgiveness, and that we are totally and utterly in need of Him. That's what the Lord's Prayer does for me. Jesus said, this is how you should pray, our Father, who art in heaven. And if we can't acknowledge this truth to start with, then we are in need of this Savior to save us from ourselves, then we are misguided and not living in the truth itself. So, tonight we're going to talk about truth matters, and there's three kind of key points that Jeremy gets over in his book, and hopefully I will try and get those over as well, which is studying the truth, singing the truth, and living the truth. This is probably the most quoted verse on worship in the whole of the Bible, and it follows an encounter by Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. And it's from John 4, verse 23 to 24. It says, yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. So we often focus on the spirit part of this, and that's important. And last week, Liz did a great job in speaking about being born of the Spirit and about the Holy Spirit being a person, and He turned up and He met with us last week. And I believe He's still here, and I still believe He wants to meet with all of us here tonight. But He wants us to worship in truth too. You see, in this verse, Jesus places equal emphasis on truth as well as spirit. And this shouldn't surprise us really, because He isn't really honored by being worshipped in ignorance or falseness. We've got to be true about things. He wants honesty, sincerity, and truth in our worship. Now, I found this quote by George Orwell. Truth, it's the new hate speech. And he says, during times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. And I think that's so true. We can see that in our world today, see it in our society, possibly in our politicians without getting too political, where lies become normal and commonplace, and telling the truth can become countercultural. It goes against the grain to talk and speak the truth. As my fellowship group will know, I had an encounter with an Ethiopian taxi driver on Thursday. And I also want to share very briefly about this, because this is a guy. Basically, I go and see my dad in a care home once or twice a week, and often I get a taxi to get there. And I have some really interesting conversations with taxi drivers. So this week I thought, I'm just going to pray, God, will you give me a chance to kind of speak with this taxi driver? And it turns out this guy called Bilal, 5 years ago, he had to flee from Ethiopia for telling the truth. He had to flee for telling the truth. He was a journalist, a TV journalist, and if you don't know Ethiopia, it's had a lot of conflict for many, many years. It's got military rulers, different ethnic groups fighting against each other, and he was basically calling out the military for allowing murders to take place in the capital city, and they didn't like being called out. So they came running for him, escaped into the embassy next door, and somehow miraculously the British Red Cross got him out, and he's now living in this country and is a taxi driver. He is a brave man. He spoke out and he told the truth. His family, a lot of his family got killed, murdered, because they blamed him. The military blamed them for harboring him. His sister and his uncle got killed, and his mom's still there, and he still misses her. He's a brave guy. I said to him, what can we do? Can we pray for you? I said, yeah. So if you remember, a guy called Bilal, a guy from Ethiopia, and a reason that sticks in my mind, because Ethiopia is, I don't know whether you know, I always talk about the World Watch List or the Open Doors and the Persecuted Church. The World Watch List 2024, Ethiopia is the 32nd in that list of the top 50 countries where it's hard to be a Christian. So in that country where there's persecution taking place of Christians and there's military rulers, there's people getting killed and dying just for following Jesus, just pray for that country. Pray for that country. Pray for Bilal and his family. So, I digress. Truth. What is truth? So I looked at what is truth mean? We heard this word. What does it mean? So I looked it up. Wikipedia says that truth is the property of being in accord with fact or reality. Okay, reality. And the Webster's Dictionary says the state of being the case. Now, Donald Trump has his own social media, because he got booted off Twitter, or X as it's called, and it's called Truth Social. And on Truth Social, I haven't been on there, I just Googled this, I'm not going to go on Truth Social. You can post your own truth. It's not a tweet, it's your own truth. Everyone seems to have their own version of the truth. In John 18, verse 37 to 38, and I'll read from this scripture. It says, then Pilate said to Jesus, so Jesus has been brought before Pilate by the Jews. He said to Jesus, so you are a king, are you? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? After saying this, he went back out to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. So Pilate asks Jesus, what is the truth? But he doesn't wait to hear the answer. He didn't really care. His truth was that he needs to get the Jews off his back. And no matter what it meant for Jesus, he wanted to get rid of the problem. The world has a lot of relative truths, but there is an absolute truth. God said in the Old Testament, he says, I am who I am. He is the ultimate truth, the great I am, the great reality. So the question tonight is, does it matter? Does the truth matter at all? And does it matter what our truth is? And how do we find out what the truth is? Does it not matter? Can we not just come and worship God? No matter how we've been, no matter how our week has been, and isn't God just so full of grace towards it? It doesn't really matter. We can just come, no matter what we've done, what we've messed up. And that is true. God's grace is absolutely amazing, because every single one of us have made a mess up this week in some way. But he loves us, and he chooses to use us, his imperfect people, to carry out his purposes. But imagine what he could really do with us if we really understood what truth was and we walked in it every single day. If we knew what truth was. So looking at worship, which is what the focus of the book is about, how can I know what pleases God? How can I give God honor in worship? How can we please God? How can we know what pleases him? When you're in a relationship, like I've been married to Ali for nearly 36 years, I think I've got that right. When you first start going out or meet someone, you don't quite know what they like, and you learn over the years what they like. whether they like flowers or chocolates or whatever it more, something a bit more expensive than that. Ali said to me the other day, I'd really like to go somewhere where they prepare the food in front of you. So yesterday, I took her to Subway. Like that one. Sorry, I do take her other places as well, don't I? Yeah. sorry, I got lost my place now. Ali and I are quite different in what we like. Ali loves surprises, so if I get her a surprise, tickets to a concert or whatever it might be, she loves that kind of thing. I hate surprises. I don't like change. I don't like being surprised. I remember once someone threw a surprise 30th party for me, and as we were driving up to our friend's house, I remember we were driving along, and I thought, I recognize that car. We went to just going for a meal. I recognized that car and that car and that car. Yeah, it was a surprise 30th birthday. It was good, but it's not my favorite thing. Not my favorite thing at all. A few years ago, on Christmas Day, a bit of background. I've been to London quite a few times in my life. I've seen lots of stuff. I've been there with work. And as I get older, I don't enjoy going to London that much. I find it very stressful. There's people there and everywhere. Because of my eyesight as well, people get in my way and they trip over my cane and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, I don't really want to go to London. Christmas a few years ago, I started opening this present on Christmas Day, and it was a picture of the London Tube map. So my face, I can't hide my feelings very well. I wear my heart on my sleeve a little bit. It's like, I think Ali could tell that I wasn't impressed with this picture of a tube map. And the kids, they knew what was going on, and they were laughing. I said, well, what's going on? She'd actually bought tickets. I don't know if you know the tale, the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime, that's right, where the main character, Christopher, who has mild autism, he goes to discover and find his mum, who's in London, and part of the play and the stories is about him finding his way on the tube. So she bought me tickets for us to all go and see the play, which I really loved, and it was fantastic, but I thought that she bought something different, so I don't like surprises. And Ali, she likes to buy me new clothes because I'm not always very good at choosing my own clothes. And she'll often buy me something and I'll open it and I'll go, ooh, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about it. And she goes, here we go again. And then a few days later, I'll try it on and it'll be like, I actually love this. And I'll wear it for like 2 months and I won't want to take it off. So she does have very good taste. The reason I mention this is... We need to get to know what someone likes. We need to get to know them. To get to know what pleases God, we need to get to know him. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So Jesus makes a claim that he is the truth, and no one can get to the Father through him. So we need to understand how we should worship God and what pleases him. Jesus said he is the truth. And I think to worship in truth means to worship God as he is revealed in our Bible. And to do so, we need to study it. And one of the great blessings of actually preparing for a talk like this is you're made to study. You're made to go and do some research and do a bit of digging. And it's really good. I find it really good. But we need to understand what he is like in the Bible. We can't worship God properly unless we know who he is and what he is like. See, often, sometimes we try and worship the God that we would like him to be. We'd like him to be this particular type of God. The Israelites fell for this so many times. While Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days, they built a big golden calf and started worshiping that. No wonder God was angry. They had so many different times in the history where the Israelites worshipped idols instead of the true God. A challenge to us tonight. Are there any idols we worship instead of the true God? A quote here from the book from Jemmy Riddle. Worship is only worship if it pleases God. It doesn't matter if we're singing the latest song, we've got the best musicians and we've got a great band. I include myself, obviously, in that. I'll let it down a bit. Got great people on the sound desk. Got a minister doing the words and getting them in sync with the music. But if God doesn't like it, it's not worship. I'm not saying what we do is wrong. Far from it. I believe we've come a long way in the worship in this building. But are we worshiping truth, not just in spirit? Are the words we are singing and declaring, are they true? This is a verse that Jeremy has in his chapter in the book. Amos 5, verse 23 to 24. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. So often the Israelites, you see, they worshipped God with sacrifices, thinking it pleased him. They followed lots of religious practices. Maybe we do that sometimes. But what he was really after, and he's still really after, is a people who really know him and who live righteous lives and who love justice. Does this apply to us? Do we put on a good show, make a lot of noise, we have the latest tunes, the latest one from Phil Wickham, and God's looking down going, oh yeah, that's fantastic. I love that they're moving, they're swaying. Or does he think, are they singing and worshiping in truth? Don't get me wrong, I think he loves our worship. He loves us to make a joyful noise to him. I think that's absolutely true. But he's not looking for a people who just sing songs. He's looking for a people, and I'm talking to myself, who really know him, who know the truth, and who walk in that truth. Hosea 6, verse 6 says this, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." See, without the knowledge of God and who he is, we have no assurance that our worship, our offerings, anything else we do for him, are actually pleasing to him. And we're in danger of missing him if we don't really know him. John 8:32 says this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So we need to get to know him. We need to study our Bibles. We need to spend time with him here, corporately, on our own. Because Jesus says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from your dead religion and alive to walk in the Spirit and in truth. There's a quote in the book here from Reverend Packer. It's a very complicated sentence, but I'll unpack it a little bit because I think it makes sense. "Theology is for doxology and devotion. That is the praise of God and the practice of godliness." Theology is for doxology. Now, what does all this mean? So theology really is the study of the nature of God. Doxology comes from two words. The first bit is doxa, or glory. The second bit is logos, which is basically speaking. So what doxology means is to speak praise, to sing praise, to give a hymn glorifying God. So what this is saying is that basically studying theology, studying who God is and who he's like, has to lead. It has to lead to worship. Because we understand, as we learn who he is and how great he is, we cannot help to worship him, can we? The one who put the stars in the heavens, who created galaxies, and yet he still cares for each one of us, that he sent his son to die for us. How can we not worship an awesome God like that? That is the truth. Another quote here from Jeremy Riddle. "What we sing becomes cultural, so then what we sing had better be true. Music has got great power to change things. It can influence society. You can see that in society over the last, 100 years, what music has done and changed society. But it also influences the church. So if musical worship has the power to change or establish the culture in a church, it better be right. And I think we're doing a good job here, to be fair. I've been in the drummer in the band for nearly 8.5 years now. Ellie and I came to the church here nearly 10 years ago in autumn 2014. At that time, we had big solid doors at the back, pews. It's changed a lot. Not just physically, though. I believe God has changed the worship in this church. It's been a massively positive change, and I've enjoyed being part of it and working with everybody who's participated in the band. But you know, God still wants to do more with us. He still wants to do more with us, and that's why we employed Emma as our worship development coordinator. But it's not all about Emma. It's not all about Emma changing the worship in this church. She has a massive part to play, but it's not all about Emma. If it's all about Emma, then we're missing the point. We, as people, as Christians, need to learn what the truth is, who God is, and we need to change our worship to reflect that, how awesome he is. We need to be worshipers from the start, not relying on Emma to worship. We all need to come here with a heart to worship. So I went off on a bit of a tangent there. I know that the worship leaders in the band, we think carefully before we put what songs we sing, because we want to make sure that we sing a song that is true and is speaking the truth about God. I know we introduced a song last year, Honey in the Rock, fantastic song. Some people go, ooh, where's that from then? How is that? But it's actually, there's two references in Scripture, Psalm 81 and Deuteronomy 32, where God talks about bringing honey from the rock. Not just, I mean, there's plenty of places where it talks about water from the rock, but honey from the rock? And that's another level, if you ask me. So we think carefully about what songs we sing. So we need to make sure that we sing songs that are true. We need to sing Scripture, which we do in a lot of our songs. And as we get to know him through our study and our worship, and individually, he reveals more of himself to us. We need to sing it back to him as well. He's going to give us, I believe he gives us all revelation individually of who he is, corporately, but also individually. He's speaking to each one of us now about who he is. And as we get that revelation of who he is, we need to declare it back to him. We need to tell him, God, this is what I learned about you. This is how wonderful you are. This is how awesome you are. Declare who he is. But he also declare who he's made us to be. Because some of the songs we sing are not necessarily always about that way to God. They're also declaring what he's done in us. As we sing, I'm a child of God, we're declaring the truth of what he's done in each of our lives. We were orphans, and he's adopted us. He's made us children of God. It's important that we sing the truth. So that's point number 2 out of 3. So we're getting on to the final hurdle. This is a quote. I've got quotes from all over the place here tonight. I found this quote from St. Augustine. It says, let us sing. It's got a picture of an old gentleman with an orange kind of shawl on his back and got gray hair. Probably got more hair than me still. It says, let us sing a new song, not with our lips, but with our lives. That leads us into our next section, which is living the truth. This is where the rubber hits the road, church, I'm afraid. Because we need to know the truth, sing the truth. We've also got to live the truth. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, to obey is better than sacrifice. As I said, so often in the Old Testament, the Israelites brought their sacrifices. But what God really wanted was a people who followed him and did what he said, who obeyed his commandments. And even today, he's still looking for that people. He's still looking for the people here, and he's looking for the people outside, people who are going to obey him and do what he commands. Are we going to be that people? So we need to live the truth. We need to do the things that he reveals to us from his word and the stuff that he speaks to us in our hearts. I believe God speaks to us sometimes about things that we know we've done wrong or aren't doing that he challenges us on. We're just sometimes a bit deaf to hear that kind of stuff. We don't want to hear it. It's too, a bit too hard. And we need to follow his commandments. Just because the Ten Commandments are in the Old Testament doesn't mean they're not any still true today. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. And to do that, we need to do what he asks us to do. To show that we love him, we need to obey him, because that is true worship. I've got a challenging quote here from an author called Brennan Manning. It says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. That's a challenging and sobering quote. So not just us, but all Christians, we need to be showing the world what it means to be a follower. To show them who Jesus is by our lifestyle. No stealing, no lying, no envy, no hatred, no sleeping around, no looking at stuff on the internet we shouldn't be looking at. There's lots of things that we kind of do that really don't honor God. And I think he's challenging all of us to live more godly lives, and I'm speaking to myself as well. We don't need any false idols. We need to follow the true God. And our lives need to live up to the stuff we talk about. What is God asking us to change tonight? What is God asking me to change tonight? What is God asking you to change tonight? If we're totally honest, there are parts of our lives that we kind of keep in a bit of a box in a corner. It's the bit that we don't take to church. We kind of hide that bit away. There's things we can all think of where God would say, is that living the way I want you to? Now, God is speaking to us. I don't believe God wants to condemn us. And please don't hear any condemnation from what I say tonight, because I'm speaking, like I say, to myself in a lot of this stuff. But I believe he wants to challenge and convict us to change, because when we change and walk this lifestyle that he's called us to be, then we make a difference. Then we all make a difference. Sorry, I'm getting a bit passionate. Psalm 24. I've been reading the Psalms since the start of the year. It's brilliant reading through some of the Psalms. Some great stuff in the Psalms. And this one stood out to me. Psalm 24, and I'm reading verses 3 and 4. It says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false God. How can we ascend this mountain to worship God? How can we ascend the mountain of the Lord? My hands aren't totally clean. My heart isn't totally pure. How can we ascend that mountain? If you think about the biggest mountain in the world, it's Everest, yeah? So if you imagine that's the mountain of the Lord, the biggest mountain you could possibly imagine, we can't even make base camp. I can't even make base camp. But there's good news. The quote here from Tozer. God wants us to worship him. He doesn't need us, for he couldn't be a self-sufficient God and need anything or anybody. But he wants us. When Adam sinned, it was not he who cried, God, where art thou? It was God who cried, Adam, where are you? Where art thou? He doesn't want, he doesn't need us to worship him. He wants us. It was him who sought out Adam in the garden, even though it was Adam who had sinned. And it was God who sent Jesus to die for us when it was us who messed up in the first place, not him. So we can ascend that mountain, not because of anything good we've done, but because he has made us clean. As we come to him and we tell him, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. He makes us free and allows us to walk up that mountain with clean hands and a pure heart because of what he's cleansed in our lives. We need to learn to walk in that freedom and to live that truth. Final verse I've got. This is 3 John 1, verse 4. And it's Gaius writing to, sorry, John writing to Gaius, a faithful member of his church. It's a letter, 3 John 1, verse 4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I think God will say the same to us tonight. It gives him great joy. It really pleases him when we learn to know the truth and who he is. When we sing that truth back to him. And when we live and walk in the truth. I'm going to ask the band to come back if that's okay. So we've talked about three main topics. We need to learn to study the truth, to find out who God is, but not just for the sake of it, but to be able to worship him. And point two, to sing the truth. But most importantly of all, our worship doesn't really count for much unless we live the truth. And I'm talking to myself, I say again. There's so many areas in my life. This morning God was saying to me, that's not quite right. You need to sort that bit out. And I believe God might be saying that to some of us here tonight. I'm going to read that psalm again, but I'm going to read the rest of it as well. If I can just find out where it is. Did have it here. You know when you've got a marker in your Bible and you can't find it? So Psalm 24. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. But then it goes on. It says, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. They will receive blessing from the Lord. Let us pray. Let's pray before we go into worship. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you're an awesome and amazing God. Lord, and I thank you for the fact that it is possible to get to know you. It is possible to study your truth in the Word. It is possible to get to know you personally as our Savior. And I thank you that we can worship and sing that back to you. Thank you that you make it possible for us to meet here in this place tonight, when so many of our brothers and sisters across the world, people like places like Ethiopia, like I mentioned, who can't do that safely. I thank you that we can come and worship you tonight. Lord, let us not waste this opportunity to meet with you tonight, Lord. Because I believe you're speaking to each one of us. Holy Spirit, I believe you're here. I ask you to speak to each one of us tonight. And Lord, we need to learn how to live this truth so that our lives match up to what we sing about, that we walk the talk, Lord. And Lord, I ask for each one of us here tonight that you would show us in a powerful way who you are and what you've called us to be, how you've called us to live in a really righteous and a holy way. not out of our own strength, because we don't have it, but Lord, let us ask you to bring your Holy Spirit and your strength into our lives to enable us to walk the truth with you. We just thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you here tonight. And Lord, let us ask that you challenge each one of us, not condemn us, but just point out bits of our lives where, yeah, you want us to change and become more like Jesus. Because that's what a world out there needs. It needs a people who are living the truth, followers who are worthy of the name of Christian. The band are going to lead us in some worship, and I'm going to go back over there and join. But I believe God might be speaking to some of us here tonight, and if he is, I think he wants some kind of response. I'm not sure what that looks like. For some of you, it may be asking someone to pray with you and saying, I've got this issue. Or maybe you want to come down here and just say, God, I know I need you. I've messed up. I want to sort it out. And if that is you, don't hold back, because God is here tonight. And he wants to change our lives. He's not about kind of condemning us or making us people that feel guilty all the time. He's a God who wants to change our lives so that we can actually live differently and live better lives. And so we can get the promises that he's promised us in his word. So if that's you and you feel like you want to pray with someone, I think Kath will be here if you want some prayer. Or if you just want to come here and worship or stand at the back and worship, I just encourage you not to think, oh, I can't deal with that. That hurts. That's too painful. I can't give you that, God. God says he wants everything. That's the challenge to us tonight. He wants everything. Not just a little bit. Not just our Sunday morning or Sunday evening. He wants everything. That's the challenge to it. How can we fit God into our busy schedules? But as he said last week, he wants us to make room for him. He wants us to make room for